Is 10-minute break. Tonight's panel includes Tash Mosley, talent manager and film producer, Jay Lewis, our resident educator, Chris Lehman, my husband and friend and accountant, Malcolm Darrell, freelance theater producer, Toria Williams, a Los Angeles administrator, and finally, Stacey Brewer, the resident Black Is counselor. And tonight's topic is social networking and relationships. Here's what's interesting about this topic. All of us at the table are, let's say, 30-something-ish in that range. And so we were...
30-something-ish.
We have
There's a difference.
Right. We have been around to see the development of this technology and this thing known as social networking, because we remember a time when there was no internet. But we find ourselves interacting... Those of us that are educators, with students who do not know a world without it, those of us who are parents that have kids who don't know a world without it, and just a generation of people who do not know a world without the internet and these things called MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter. And it definitely changes the way people relate. It changes the way people represent themselves. It changes communication altogether. And I think it has, I definitely think it's more for the good. I know I enjoy my social networking time when I get a chance to do it. I like being on my Twitter at night. And, you know, there's a certain freedom to being able to say whatever, whenever, and not be concerned about anybody's response to it or anything like that. But at the same time, it can be a challenge. I'm sure you all have seen the various articles about people and their relationships coming to an end because somebody done got on their Facebook account and then found the ex, that long-lost love that wasn't ever really supposed to come back, and who is now back. So I just wanted to know what you all think about social networking and relationships. And here's my main question. Can you meet somebody, and Facebook, mind you, is a different beast because Facebook is really about reconnection. But a site, say like Twitter, can you meet somebody on a site like that and truly develop a genuine relationship?
I think that depends on your ability to develop genuine relationships outside of Twitter.
Okay.
If you have relationships and you have, if you have friends, if you have boyfriends, if you have strong relationships with your family, then you've been given the opportunity to interact with people. You know how to talk to people. You know how to engage people. But if all, for the most part, you're used to doing is texting or MySpacing or Facebooking or tweeting, then I think that you're kind of missing something, because when you do have that face-to-face interaction, you are afraid of confrontation. You don't know what to do.
And what ends up happening too, a lot of times when you do meet people on those sites and then you meet them in person, the two personalities are not the same. So a person on Facebook or on Twitter has one personality, and then when you see them face to face, they're a very different person.
Well, I don't know. I enjoy Facebook. I have a Twitter account, but I almost feel like it's starting to kill communication. You said change communication. I started to kill communication. I'm old school. I want good old-fashioned black love. We can sit and talk like we're all doing right here.
Right.
I don't need to know where you are via Facebook. You know, so that...
I'm at the mall.
Right. You know, look, that relationship, you know, and I think some people lose focus of their relationship with Facebook, you know. And because I don't understand how Facebook would affect a strong relationship.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Not the computer, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm not a Facebook friend, I'm sorry.
But for individuals with low self-esteem, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And like the number of followers that you have on Twitter, once you hit like 200, 300, you feel like you're doing the dang thing, because all of a sudden you have all these followers, when really who cares? Like, it's virtual. Mm. Like, you could have 500 followers on Twitter and no friends in real life. So, really, what are you doing?
It's a false sense of security.
It is.
Right.
That's
it
what
is.
It is.
It's definitely a false sense of security.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. But now, I'm remembering in the twilight of the social networking when Black Planet jumped off.
And oh my God.
Right, right? And that was
Decadence
my first
15.
Flight, right?
Still see my thing.
Right. And so, that when it was this new, fresh thing, because, of course, I'm a teacher and I'm trying to maintain as much anonymity on the internet. I want to maintain as much privacy as possible. But when the Black Planet thing jumped up, you know, Kimmy's calling me. I got another good friend who I call Big. Big's calling me. Are you on Black Planet? I'm like, no, I'm not on Black Planet.
It was huge.
But you can meet somebody. And I did meet somebody on Black Planet. And it was actually kind of dope for that long, like, little short period of time we were hanging out. But it has changed, I think, in many, many ways.
It's
because
grown.
The insecure profile, or those who are creating profiles that aren't necessarily representative of who they really are, is misleading. So now I shy away from it. I'm not a Facebooker. I don't have a MySpace account. I don't tweet. I don't do any of that because I'm so leery of this profile that is not going to coincide with the person that I'm actually going to meet. And all of my friends are saying, you're so fuddy-duddy. You're stuck in the 20th century. You need to get online and fill out the profile and get cracking. And I'm saying, thank you, no. I'd rather do it in an old-fashioned way and just meet in some weird moment where you lock eyes or something. But at the same time,
romantic people.
Right. But at the same time, right, I'm a busy professional. And I think to myself, damn, maybe if I did kind of connect in, I could kind of, you know, dispense with all of the niceties in the beginning and stuff and get right to the point. But at the same time, I'm beginning to think it's breaking down communication because we don't talk face-to-face right. anymore. People are really afraid of that. So,
but, I mean, all technology has done that. You know, I mean, there was a time,
true.
I mean, look at the radio, look at the advent of the internet, the TV. I'm sure everybody's like, oh, gosh, we're not going to walk to each other's houses anymore. I mean, it's like, it's just part of the evolution of the world we
Good
live
point.
In. And I think if you look at the people sitting at this table, I'm assuming everybody has, like, I know you just said you're on Facebook, but those of us who do have Facebook here, we're cool people. Mm-hmm. I know my profile is really just, honestly, right now, Facebook is wonderful for remembering people's birthdays.
As someone
who has received birthday messages, I didn't even think, like, oh,
okay.
they knew that because it was on Facebook.
Okay.
I felt like
so
people
special.
Genuinely care about you.
Right.
And one of the things where I saw Facebook at its greatest moment, when Michael Jackson died, I saw the world mourn together.
Yeah,
now that I have to say, you're right about.
Nothing on Facebook
you're right
was
about
not about
that.
Michael Jackson.
Right.
You're right about
Everyone
that.
Found out he was dead. Every single post in my newsfeed was about Michael Jackson.
Yes.
And people were posting songs they love.
Yes.
And people were crying.
Mm-hmm.
And people were doing
right.
this. And so there obviously it's a blessing and a curse in certain respects.
Right.
But I also take full responsibility personally. Like, you know, I'm dating right now and, you know, I try to absolutely start everything off with a phone conversation, but I'm gonna have to get into some texting because
busy.
You know what I'm saying? No, I'm not saying we're gonna text every day, but I'm saying that whereas before I could probably take a moment and have a conversation with you, I can at least say, hey, how are you? I'm busy at work.
Right.
Just want to say
thinking
hi.
About you,
right.
Whatever.
And then when I get off work, I can make a phone call.
Okay.
But that's just, to me, the reality of the world we live in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're inundated with information. It's like information overload. I mean, if anybody here can say they're not overwhelmed by email, tell me what's your secret.
Right. It's
insane.
Yeah.
So I think you have to manage expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to meet someone that way, I think that's absolutely beautiful. And I think it can happen that way.
Okay.
Because I've never internet dated and I don't plan to. I just find that it's just weird to me.
Okay.
I don't knock it, but I just am like, I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe I'm just not willing to take that jump.
Okay.
But I'm like, internet dating.
And the thing
I'm not really feeling that. But you know, to each his own. Like, I know some people with very
You never did Black Planet?
No, I was on Black Planet, but I was
never
I
did.
Never really
What's
did.
The actress' name who just met a husband on lovematch.com.
Right, that's what I was going to mention. The fact that there are sites that are geared specifically toward that, and there are people that have made successful matches on sites like match.com.
What's her name from Half and Half? Or she's on the Ice Cube
Rachel
show.
Rachel True?
Rachel True?
No.
Ebony or Essence Atkins?
Essence Atkins.
Really?
She just married someone and they were on Match.com.
No way. Wow.
Success story.
Yes.
You too can marry an actress. Be on Match.com.
But going back to what Malcolm said about the texting, and you seem to have a good handle on that, but I just had this conversation with someone and I was like, you're not going to keep my attention through text. I'm sorry. Maybe he doesn't have a good handle on it like you do, but I find quite a few men who rely on that text. And then when they do pick up the phone, it's like, oh, sorry, I can't go because I'm somewhere else with the person who actually picked up the phone and called.
Oh,
your girl's not a cheater, but you're not going to keep my attention with a text.
And then people,
well said.
Yeah, people use some of the social networking in an inappropriate manner. Like, if you have to cancel something, a text is not the way to do that. You know what I mean? Like, if it's a really serious situation, you pick up the phone and call.
Right.
This is what I'm curious to see. I want to see in 10 years where this generation is going to be in terms of their ability to create relationships and sustain relationships with one another, since they are devoid of what we would consider just the old school way of connecting with people, just the very natural way of meeting. And like Jay said, having that moment where you look at somebody's eyes and you know this is the moment. You know what I'm saying? If everything is happening over the computer and over the phone, then how do you ever genuinely connect with somebody? Because behind a keyboard, behind a phone, I can be whomever I want. I can go on Twitter right now and be a 6'4" white woman with blonde hair and blue eyes from Finland and be getting it on. And nobody would know that it was little old me behind the screen. You know what I mean? So this will be interesting to see how this evolves.
I see they're losing their tact. I look at some of the posts, and I can't get too specific without revealing everything, but discussing things that in the real world will be discussed in private.
Right.
On Facebook, it becomes like your couch, your sofa, the therapy sofa. And I see it with some of the younger generation where I have picked up the phone and called folks. Like, let me tell you something.
Cut that out.
Facebook is not the place for
that. That's what's deceptive about this place where you're on a computer and you're typing in a dialogue box. You think, I'm just typing in the dialogue box.
Right.
But you don't realize that it's being broadcast to the world.
To the world.
Because if your privacy settings aren't on lock, I can search you. And I cannot tell you the number of people where I'm like, let me just see where they are on the internet. And I'll Google them and their profile and all their information.
Pops up. Mm-hmm.
So check your privacy settings, people.
Right.
But I don't forget what I was saying.
But not just that. When they're applying to colleges now, universities are going on and looking at their Facebook pages and Twitter and seeing
and
what...
employers.
Right.
I know an employer who, they know it's illegal, but it's like, because you can get on the computer and type in a name, they go look at
people. Sure will.
Right.
And they're like, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, I've seen people who've had pictures of themselves drunk.
Oh.
As their profile picture, just crazy, and just have no tact and have no, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to become the norm or if, I don't know. I would hope that, like, our generation for some reason will get to a point and say, you know, this is inappropriate, and we're going to have those old school values.
It's almost like an etiquette book needs to be written about it.
I was just getting ready to say that I think that the 30-somethings, if I can say it like this, definitely need to have this conversation with one another, because I think that the 30-something faction is very much wedded to the social networking environment. But I also think, too, that some of it's gotten to be a little bit out of hand. And the reason I say that is because I have a colleague who last year, almost 2 years now, posted on Facebook pictures of us while we were having a party at her house. And of course, everybody had been libating for a very long time at that point.
I bet you get a black belt.
And so, in her mindset, you know, she's being this social networker. She posts these pictures.
Wow.
And lo and behold, somewhere along the line, someone in the district office got a hold of this. Picture, and then of course the trickle down was that we are a bunch of partying, carousing, irresponsible professionals. And that did not sit well when we got back to school that Monday.
Wow.
And the only reason why they even had access to it is because my 30-something colleague was like, oh, I just posted their pictures on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't do that again, please.
Right.
Certain things have to be held privately. You can't show up, right, with the people who are signing the checks.
Yeah.
Looking like an irresponsible person, even though it may not be on the district's dime, you still are representative of, you know, of the school.
But it's like about being tactful, right? Because there was a time when, yes, there were all kinds of incriminating pictures in someone's home and their drawer.
Right. Exactly.
Now, Negroes is getting a camera like John just did on Facebook.
Look, and I did not have...
I did not have right of first refusal.
John just posted something on your wall.
Like, what's going on?
Right.
When people have no sensibility of that. I mean, there's no...
I totally agree. I just had a birthday party in August, and I'll share off what we did for the party.
Okay.
But we had to specifically say to some folks, consensus, these pictures don't go on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Like, I know you thought you look good.
Right. But everybody doesn't need to see it.
I'm like, you know I don't look good in that picture.
Right.
Why would you post that?
I like the etiquette piece. And you all know this situation that I'm going to touch on briefly. Mm-hmm. I recently had to let go of an employee where I work my good government
job. Good government
job? Part of the reason why that employee had to be let go of, aside from just her overall inability to do the job effectively, I noticed throughout the work hours that she was spending a significant amount of time tweeting.
Okay, working.
And when I was trying to give her more work to keep her busy, there was a reluctance to have to do some work because I'm cutting into them tweeting hours. To compound the issue, she was tweeting about the school and trying to also make subliminal tweets about me, but not really all that subliminal. It was a very passive-aggressive move. And so I threw some bait out there and tweeted a little something of my own, and she took it. And so with that, you know, that was the end of that. Like, when I went to, now here was the funny part. When I went to her to have an actual conversation, complete and total shutdown. She couldn't look me in the eye. She didn't want to have the conversation, accused me of trying to confront her, make her uncomfortable. She actually tried to get me fired. It was interesting.
How she did that.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, she decided she was going to write this very long email and send it to my principal, send it to HR, send it to the president of the charter, who would never see it. the thing about it that just struck me as so odd is that the whole situation could have been resolved if she had had the ability to just have a conversation with me. It was easier for her to communicate with me from a keyboard than to talk to me face-to-face. And that was... it was eye-opening for me. I did not realize how crippling social networking could be in certain circumstances, because you need to be able to have that balance. And that's where our generation is very blessed, to not know a world with the internet and then to learn a world with one.
I was going to say, to piggyback on that, I actually use technology sometimes to have that balance. Like, when I purposely want to be passive aggressive, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like telling this person no to their face, so I will text them. You know what I mean? Like, and I use it, but I do know that it's inappropriate.
Right.
And if some person calls me out, I'll be like, yeah, you're right. I should have called you. Right, you know? But like, it's something you can code switch.
Mm-hmm.
You
can
go back and forth,
you
and you can elect to use it when you want to.
Yes.
And you know, sometimes I fall on the sword. I do it. And I'm like, I really should call, but I'm just going to send this text. I can't deal. It's just where I'm at. But
I could
call.
And
yeah,
you
yeah.
Confront the person if you needed to.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Not need if you want to. I mean, you do have a legit excuse. I'm busy, so-and-so, and while I'm on the phone, I can just 2 minutes bow. I don't have to talk to you.
Right.
No long conversation.
Right. I mean, there's something to be said about the efficiency of texting.
Yeah.
It's quite efficient.
Can I pose a question?
Sure.
If, because, you know, most of our apprehension with posting things online is because an older generation doesn't understand that we can actually have fun, do stupid things, and still be responsible and take care of our jobs. Do you think once we get to the position where we are the executives, we are upper management, that the taboo of posting things that are perfectly all right to do, like drink alcohol, like get drunk, posting things like that will not be taboo because we understand that you can still do your job even if you drink on the weekends.
It depends on the culture of where I'm hiring. Where you are. Right. If I'm hiring somebody and I know the culture, and I guess you're asking, do you think when we get older we'll have changed the culture? Yes, I do think it'll shift a little bit, you know. But if I know if I'm at a place that's very conservative, if I'm there, I probably have been lock in step with the culture, and I'm going to keep it that way. I know if it's my own company, I will have a lot more leeway. I some of the most brilliant people and fun and entertaining and why they're magical salespeople are because of exactly their social networking skills. And I can't hire somebody and want that magic that they have and then not want them to be friendly and have party with people in Miami or wherever. You just have to be really, it depends on the where I would work.
And there's a phrase I've been hearing a lot lately, perception is reality, obviously because of politics, but you know,
nicely put.
President Obama and Michelle Obama probably get it cracking. I don't want the president, there's a certain perception I have of you and how you're going to do the job that I want to know. Mm-hmm. And so, no, I don't think it's about it being a taboo. Yes, we know people drink and we know people do drugs, too. Mm. But I don't need that to start clouding and invading the workspace because they're two separate lives. There's your personal life and there's your professional life. And I think that they absolutely should remain that way so that the environment and the culture is the lines are clearly drawn. Mm.
So don't request me as a friend on Facebook.
I don't request, my coworkers will tell you right now, my intern taught me this like last year. She was like, I don't accept, because I had asked her to be my friend, she was like, I don't accept colleagues. I went to a new job, I don't accept any of my colleagues. And it is so liberating. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Because they'll be like, why don't you, I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't, and they respect me. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, that's, you know what, I respect you. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm talking about on Facebook, I don't need to, I have my political, religious views, that's my personal business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And everybody at work doesn't need to be all up in that. What you receive when I walk into work and spend half my life with you is what you get.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then for those of us that do have multiple social networking accounts, you can end up finding a balance in using one for one way and one for another. Because I know I have work friends on Facebook. I don't have that many work friends on Twitter. That's so not work friend business. That's my ability to be free and not really care about what's going on. That's my venting social networking site. And so you can use them in different ways.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in a position to hire, and I know that many of my teachers have Facebook accounts. Mm-hmm. And I know, not that I'm friends with maybe a couple, but for the most part, no. But my biggest concern is that they become friends with their students.
Yes.
It's not set up in the sense of they're using Facebook for the classroom. I have a teacher who's developed a page where he interacts with his students, and it's all student school related. Mm-hmm. But for those that have befriended these students or these children, and when I say befriended them, they are now your friends. Mm-hmm. I have a big problem with that. Definitely. Because then don't call me to your classroom to discipline this kid.
Right.
When just last night you posted, you know, what you were doing, and they have access to your entire life.
So exactly.
That's a constant issue for me.
Yeah, as an educator, I made it a rule. I can't be a friend with a student until they are no longer my student.
And that's it.
Right.
With anybody who is under 21 years old. I mean, personally.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. I'm sure we all have cousins and family friends who we know there and that we watch them grow up. But I personally find this inappropriate. I'm not trying to talk to you if you're underage. First of all, I'm a black man. I don't need to be caught up. They'll throw anything at us. And right. I find that to be inappropriate.
That's the funny thing
in
is,
in real life, would you really be friends with a child? Because, you know, this is virtual friendship. Right. So, like, are we really being friends with, like, a 14-year-old?
Not really. The thing is, I find myself still being the teacher. So if they put something that's inappropriate, I'm like, you do know Miss Calvert-Lehman just read this. Change it. Right. And they will respond in kind. Like myself, oh, I'm sorry, miss. I'm like, it's a public thing. And so it has a purpose. It's
I'm friends with my niece and nephew, and they're 16 and 14, and I really relish the opportunity to see like what they're getting into, and you can see little shifts, like oh wow, her pictures are changing.
Right,
you're still an uncle no matter what. And I mean, luckily with my niece and nephew, they know how crazy I am, so the stuff that they see on Facebook, they don't take it as any surprise. But also, I'm not like, you know, laid out, passed out drunk in pictures on Facebook. So,
and I have former students, my students that were my fifth graders who are now students in college, you know, and that's their way of getting back in touch with you.
Right.
My former students who are high school students, and you're right, you are still in that teacher mold. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't want to hear, you know, I goes right to inbox real quick.
Yeah.
You know, like, and say, listen up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And they respond like, oh, you know, okay.
And it is good for that, too, because I thought about that. The very first class I taught, all those students are now 22.
Right.
And that's how I found them. I ran into one who was working somewhere in Los Angeles, and I thought to myself, I wonder if she's on Facebook. And through her, I found six or seven of those kids, and it did my heart so much good just to see, one, that they're alive, and two, that they're, you know, doing well. And so, it for us educators, it definitely has a purpose. Anybody want to say anything in summation? Well, we thank you all for joining us for another 10-minute break. We will see you again soon. Peace.